Welcome to the Beating Heartland, created by Denver Bauman. Episode 6, The Graveyard. Good evening, listeners. Today, we are discussing the unfortunate topic of funerals.
I took her death hard, and so did Mom.
Unfortunately, this is an event we all have to share.
I don't know if it helped or hurt that I kept seeing her after. She wouldn't leave me alone.
We all know the frailties of the mortal body. And unfortunately, we are reminded of it all too often.
The graveyard was usually an escape for me. No one would go there. It allowed me to think. I'm morbid, I know.
We're all afraid of death, and seeing the aftermath of death is an image burned in our heads. The last image we will see of our loved ones. Still, silent. Cold.
After what happened, I didn't go there by myself, especially not at night.
Surrounded by dead bodies and old stories, it makes sense that we'd experience some terrifying circumstances in the graveyard. Today, we look at those stories. Stick with us. After these messages,
okay.
We will hear from you,
okay, I'm up.
The listeners.
Just turn it off. Can a guy just get some rest? I'm in a bed. Oh, I passed out. That's right. Sorry. I don't know what came over me. I'm just really exhausted. Thinking about all this stuff, it's wearing me down for some reason. Why did you guys handcuff me to the bed? Did something happen while I was out, or... Okay, do we have to keep doing this right now? I mean, can't I just rest for a little bit? Okay, moving on.
This isn't easy, Ariadne. I don't like talking about the death of someone I knew. I don't want to sound cruel, but if I don't know the person, it doesn't affect me all that much. Great Aunt Aurora? She was different. I saw her so often after the funeral. She would just sit at the dinner table with us. Mom couldn't see her. She didn't speak a lot, seemed to take effort. She was just happy to be with us. Sometimes she'd look at me like she wanted to tell me something. Needed to tell me something, but just couldn't find the words. Other times, she'd stare at us with affection, happy to be there. Mom was exhausted. The funeral, work ramping up, and the kids being difficult, I mean, it all took a toll. And I wasn't helping. I was 10, I think. I would sneak out at night and go on so-called adventures. Aunt Aurora was one of the few people who brought levity into Mom's life. It was weird seeing Aurora so quiet now, after she died. During life, she was the life of the party. Growing up, I was always amazed at the amount of colors she could wear and somehow pull off. She always had earrings on that dangled to her shoulder. She wasn't a Christian. Not by a long shot, so she wasn't the favorite in most of the family. And usually my mom would react the same way, but she couldn't help but love her. Aurora was one of the few people who always stood by Mom's side. When I was born, a lot of the family couldn't forgive Mom for the out-of-wedlock baby. She's had a strained relationship with a lot of them ever since. Aurora didn't care. She didn't have strong stances on most things. She followed the earth, the feelings of nature, the spring flowing, the energy of the air around her. She believed in accepting the chaos of everyday life and just enjoying the ride. She wasn't afraid of death. I remember her telling me once, "Death is just another step, Denny. One that is dark and unsure, but when you cross it, you wake up and realize there was nothing to fear in the first place. The next day, you will continue like nothing was different. Continue to live. Flow with the wind in the trees and down through the roots. Purely one with the flowing of the tides. Peaceful." I remember that a few nights before her death, I was running out of the house on one of my little adventures. She followed me, secretly. This adventure led me to the graveyard. I sat in the cold night air and looked at the names on the headstones, imagining who they used to be, what they did with their lives. "What are you doing here so late, Denny?" I spun and looked at her, scared of punishment. She just chuckled. "Don't worry. I'm not here to rat you out. I was just curious. Why the graveyard?" I shrugged. "It's peaceful. A lot of people with stories that I can imagine. It feels like I belong here somehow." She sat down, cross-legged beside me. She was wearing a long, flowing sweater that looked patched together with dozens of different swatches, her mousy brown hair flowing in the slight breeze. "Your dad is buried here. Did you know that?" "Really?" I looked up, surprised. At the time, I barely knew anything about Dad. Still don't know enough. "Yeah, he's just over there. The small headstone." I quickly ran over. I found the grave, sitting by itself. Philip Key. I don't remember what date he was born, but when he died was December 1999. Not even a month before I was born. I ran back to Aurora. "Did you know him?" She slowly nodded. "Why didn't you tell me?" "Your mom doesn't like talking about him. The pain still hurts. Even after 10 years. He died just a little bit before I was born." "Yeah, he did." "Why? How?" "I don't know." I sat on the grass, burning the memory of his name into my mind. "What was he like?" She smiled. It was that moment I saw the glint of tears on her face in the moonlight. "One of the kindest men I have ever known, but also one of the most reckless. He was passionate, quick, always had to jump immediately into something. He loved your mom dearly. And she loved him. They were young, and everything happened so fast in the whirlwind. She became pregnant with you. Kept it a secret as long as she could. But everyone found out eventually. Her family was furious and began to abandon her. Your father stuck by her side while he still could. He owned up to his mistakes, his recklessness. He learned quickly what responsibility meant. Your mom, buckling under the weight of all the stares and the disappointment, turned to other things to help. She became withdrawn and anxious. She started to... never mind. I forget how young you are sometimes. You look so much like him, you know? She became angry with him, blamed him for everything going wrong. And one day he left. At least, that's what I assume happened. I found out he was dead not long after. He was missing for the longest time, but they finally just called it. There wasn't any hope of finding him. His car was found. No one inside of it, but it was abandoned in the woods. She sighed, looked at me, suddenly realizing she was putting this all on a 10-year-old. She sputtered out an apology, and I just said, No, it's okay. We sat in silence as I absorbed the information. I've always preferred knowing. I mean, my memory is so spotty these days, so anything I can know, anything I can latch onto, it helps. I looked at her and said, "If you weren't supposed to talk about it, then why are you telling me this now?" She smiled. "Because you deserve to know. And I won't always be around to tell you. Your mother is a good person. She doesn't believe that herself sometimes, and she needs someone to hold her, comfort her. She has made decisions she will regret for the rest of her life. Meddled in things she shouldn't have. Help her, Denny. Like only a son can." We sat in silence for a few more minutes, drinking in the sight of the graveyard and the horizon. Finally, she nodded and stood up, saying, "Okay, I'm starting to get used to it." She offered her hand, and we walked back to the house. She never told Mom about me going out at night. She died 2 days later. Not a lot of people attended the funeral. It was windy, not rainy like they usually are. Could barely hear the pastor over the wind as he was giving his sermon. Mom didn't cry. I've barely ever seen her cry. She internalizes everything, you know, bottles it up. The pastor ended with ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and dismissed us all as the song "Nearer My God to Thee" played. It was one of the few hymns Aurora liked. She was buried next to my father's grave. I don't think a lot of people knew this, or no one acknowledged it. 2 days later, Aurora appeared to me. She was sitting on her favorite chair. She always said it had the perfect view out the window. Her body was translucent, shimmering like moonlight. The most peaceful ghost I've ever seen. She smiled, but didn't say anything. This continued for a few weeks. Sometimes she was on the chair, sometimes she was at the dinner table with us, but she was always there. Whenever the sun set, she would appear, stay for 2 hours, and then leave. One night, I snuck downstairs while Mom was asleep and saw Aurora standing at the window, looking at the weeping willow tree on our lawn. She nodded, as if realizing something. She didn't look at me that night, and when a couple hours had passed, she just disappeared. Then the final night came. It started with me hearing something while I was asleep. I opened my eyes, scared, expecting to see... Well, let's just save him for another time. She was standing at the edge of my bed, smiling at me. She held out her hand and looked out the window. I stood and walked with her, hand in hand. It was so odd. Felt solid one moment and like fog the next. We walked out of the house and into the night. It didn't take long before I realized we were heading to the graveyard. The moon was a thin sliver, barely casting any light. As we walked, visions began to form in my periphery. People watching us. Hazy, translucent people. I would turn to look at them, but Aurora would pull my hand, guiding me to look ahead. The ghostly bodies were getting closer. Dozens upon dozens, staring, following. Hands began to reach out of the ground, groping for both of us, trying to grab my feet. Aurora gave my hand a gentle, reaffirming squeeze. I didn't know what was happening. I was scared, but I trusted her. I continued to walk. We arrived at the graveyard. There was a small light on in the church, only visible thanks to the extreme darkness of the night. The ghosts surrounding us stared up at the sky, frowned, moaned, gnashed teeth. And with a lot of effort, began to submerge into the different graves, trying to feel the moon's faint glow for as long as they could. The hands disappeared. It was only Aurora and I. She sighed and looked at me. I can't speak for long. They will be looking at me soon. But I must say something, and this is my last chance. I'm growing so tired. She reached down and gently held the side of my face. Much of what I tell you will not make sense until much later. You will probably forget this for a long time, and I pray that your mind will be able to remember it. I believe you will. Your drive for answers will win. Keep that thirst for knowledge alive. It might just save you in the end. Your father loves you, by the way. He holds on for you, to watch you grow, and to help you when he can. She poked my forehead. He will remain in here as long as he is able. He sleeps most of the time these days. We will never leave you. I must tell you some things. I wish I could explain, but we are not allowed. Not able to. It is taking all of my power to say this. Your mother didn't do it. She didn't do the terrible thing you fear she did, or will fear she did. She has made many mistakes, trusted the wrong types of people. You have to break the cycle, Denver. Don't trust this town. It will gobble you up and spit you out just to do it again. She glanced around, nervous. I noticed her feet beginning to tremble. She held on to me tighter, like someone was trying to pull her away. She whispered, "Find the letter in the tree. Maybe you will understand its words someday." I love you, Denny. Never let your mind accept the fog. With that, she hugged me. A last, terrified hug. Before suddenly, she was pulled away. Arms reached out of the ground once more, grabbing her feet, causing her to fall to the ground. The tears poured down her face as she was pulled away. The ground near her grave began to open. The earth crumbling away as a red, fiery light spewed from it. The hole continued to grow larger and larger, the sound of the earth cracking echoing around me. The arms continued to pull her, and she cried. When her body reached the edge of the hole, she grabbed onto the headstone and called out to me. One last word of advice. Find someone you can trust. Tell them everything you can remember. And with that, she was pulled to the ground. It snapped shut, and the red light vanished. I stood there, shocked, unable to register what had just happened. Faintly, I heard a door open behind me, and the soft sound of footsteps. I felt someone place a hand on my shoulder. I spun around, ready to run. It was just the pastor, looking down at me with concern. Flinging my arms around him, I began to sob. He just stood there, unsure how to respond. But he hugged me and knelt down. "What happens when we die?" He blinked, surprised, but then answered. "I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. For some, bliss. For others, fire. Some, they just pick up their bags and continue on." Tears falling down my face, I asked,
"And Aurora?"
The pastor smiled, and after thinking, said, "I think your great aunt was the continuing on sort." He patted me on the shoulder and waited for me to stop crying. He offered me some tea, but I declined, saying I should really get back home. He nodded and watched as I walked back to the house. I didn't sleep. And, as Aurora said would happen, I forgot everything. Until now. Speaking with you. Thank you, Ariadne. I mean it. You never asked for any of this. You're my memory bank. I just don't know which ones to believe. You know, memories are so fickle. I mean, and the fact that I have trouble remembering them most of the time, you know, isn't encouraging. I mean, did these things actually happen, or am I just going crazy? No, that can't be right. This has to be true. I mean, if it's not, where does that leave me? But how much of it is accurate? I mean, you of all people know memories aren't always as they seem. I mean, that vision you had when you were the little girl from 1870. I mean, why do you remember that the dad's car was found? They weren't invented yet. I mean, even if they were, they wouldn't be readily available. This isn't news to you, right? You've obviously thought that before. It's just... Hey, where are you going?
Thank you, everyone, for sending in your stories for this rather heavy topic. I'm sure it wasn't easy. Tonight, I wish to end this broadcast a little differently than usual and give some words of encouragement. We all face loss in this life. It's an unavoidable constant. So what do we let that do to us? Do we close ourselves off from everyone so that we don't have to experience the pain? Do we dwell on it, letting it consume our thoughts until it erodes our happiness and leaves us little more than husks? We fear death. We especially fear the death of those we love. Does that mean we shouldn't love? I don't think so. To love is to enter into an understanding that the person, no matter how special, will die. Their body will decay, their mind cease to function. But for someone who was loved, truly loved, they will never actually die. They will live on, in you, in your head, changing you, continuing to affect your life just as if they were still alive. You will lose, and it will hurt. Death is not the end. For some, they believe in an afterlife. For others, they believe they will come back. For someone I love dearly, they thought death was just a stepping stone and a veil. For everyone, though, death is not the end. If you shared your life with someone you loved, and that is something to be happy about. Good night, everyone. We will see you next time on Heartland Supernatural.
Well, we did it. Thanks, everyone, for indulging that little addition. Felix, are you crying? All right, well, I hope you all have a great night. Yeah, see you, Rachel. Yeah, Felix, what's up? You got something for me? What do you mean? Okay, yeah, let's talk about it. Meet me at Flipping Patty's. My treat. Cool. Yep. See you there. I love that crazy woman. So, yeah. My mom isn't responsible for my dad's death. I didn't understand it then. Or maybe I did subconsciously. I just wish she could have told me who did it, you know? You know, I didn't even know until a few months ago how he died. I still feel them with me. Faintly. No, I need to figure this all out. For their sake. And I think for mine, too. I figure you're all looking for the tree session, right? Leave. Leave, Sally. Let's keep this moving, all right? Yeah, someone's getting, antsy. I think we're getting close to something.
The Beating Heartland was written and performed by Denver Bauman. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on whatever streaming platform you are using. Follow us online at The Beating Heartland. Thank you for listening.